HC Ponca Sioux City and KOIA Storm Lake. This show is Faith in Action, and I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And I'm so glad you took time out of your busy schedule to listen to our show, because we have got a very special guest today. I am on the phone to Ireland, and you often wondered where your donations go. Well, this is where they go. I make long-distance phone calls to my new friends across the ocean. But I have on the phone with me Father Ray Kelly. And Father Kelly is coming to Sioux City. He is going to do a part of his friendship tour. And he will be, get your pencils out, Friday, September 23, 7 p.m., St. Michael's Church in Sioux City, Iowa. The event is free and open to the public. But, of course, as with any church, they wouldn't mind a free will offering. That will be accepted. So, again, Friday, September 23, 7 p.m., St. Michael Church in Sioux City. So, why am I interviewing Father Ray Kelly? Well, because he became somewhat famous or infamous in 2014 after a video of him singing Leonard Cohen's song Hallelujah while officiating at Chris and Leah O'Kane's wedding became a YouTube sensation. I believe it has like 84 million hits. Hey, what? I am so excited if my show gets 100 hits. So that's who I got on the phone with me. And welcome to the show, Father Ray Kelly.
Thank you, Jan. My pleasure to talk to you today. My pleasure.
Oh, good. I'm so glad that we were able to connect. So, Father Kelly, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I was born in the Midlands of Ireland, an Irish boy. A family of my parents were, my mother was a midwife, delivering babies in the local community. That was when a lot of house birthing was, house deliveries were taking place. My dad was a farmer, and I have two sisters and one brother. I was the third of four children, and I was educated locally in the primary school and in the secondary school, and went on then to work in the civil service in Dublin for about 10 or 11 years before I started thinking about priesthood.
And what prompted that? Did you have like an Irish grandmother that prayed for you to be a priest?
My grandparents, I was indeed very close to them, but they never saw me as becoming a priest. I think, in fact, by the time I had made the decision, they had passed on, you know. But it was about the time of John Paul II, the Pope at the time, had come to Ireland in 1979. And the following year, a group of about 1,000 young people who were living and working in Dublin decided to go to Rome to pay him a visit to thank him for coming to Ireland. And indeed, I went over with that particular group, and we had great concerts with him. We had mass with him in Castel Gandolfo, his summer residence, and then we met him in St. Peter's Square as well. And I remember then one evening we had a concert for him in Castel Gandolfo as well, and I was asked to sing a song for him, Danny Boy, and it was a great honor. And indeed, afterwards, we'd go up to meet him, and he presented me with a beautiful rosary beads, and it was something I always treasure. But when I came back from that then in 1980, I decided to start going to Mass again, because it wasn't something I had done very often. Now, when I was growing up at home in Ireland, our parents were very committed Catholics and brought us to church all the time. But, you know, when you go to live in Dublin, you get away from the family, the parents' ties, if you like. And I started doing my own thing, enjoying life with my friends. But I started then, Lent was coming up, and I started going to Mass again. And it was from that experience of going to Mass before work every morning that I began to almost feel like, you know, it was like a voice in my head saying, you know, Ray, you could be up there doing what that priest is doing. And this kept coming and coming in my head all the time until, I guess, you know, and then it would go away for a while and I'd say, oh yeah, I was dreaming. It was, how could I ever become a priest? Like, I was 27 years of age at that stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't going to be possible. But it would go away then, and I'd be glad it would be gone, because you know, I'd say, yeah, it was all in my head all the time, you know. And then it would come back again. And I suppose it got to a stage where I had a girlfriend even at the time, and I eventually had to tell her what was going on in my head. And I eventually had to talk to another priest about it and explain to him, and he said, it looks like you could have a vocation, all right. So from there, I went, made more inquiries about priesthood then, and then I joined the St. Patrick's Missionary Society, a missionary order down in the middle of Ireland in County Wicklow. And I was ordained in 1989, and I was sent to South Africa to work in the Diocese of Zanin in South Africa. And from there, I worked there for about 2.5 years there altogether. But it was a very upsetting time for me, because I was only out there 3 months when my mother phoned. That time, you have to remember, there was no such thing as mobile phones or anything like that back in the early 80s. Or in the late 80s, 89, 90. My mother phoned to say my dad was very ill, and the thought I should come home. And he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and he died about 6 weeks later, into February of 1990. And then I went back a few months after that and settled down again. I was learning the language. And it wasn't long back, maybe about 3 months, when the phone rang again. My mother was in intensive care. It was touch and go for her, whether she had got a heart attack. And so I went home again then to be with her. And she survived then, and she died then in 2004, which is 18 years ago now, just over 18 years ago. But that's kind of how my priesthood kind of was in South Africa. And I went back then for about a year after that and was learning the language still. And I found it difficult to settle in the country, and I decided I'd come home then to Ireland to work for a while. And eventually I liked working in Ireland, and I stayed home, and I've been working in Ireland indeed ever since.
So let me ask you, Father Ray, when you kind of started telling people that you were interested in being a priest, you know, a lot of times people, some friends or loved ones will look at you and go, well, I don't know what took you so long. But then there are others who go, what are you thinking? So what kind of reaction did you have from your siblings or your close friends?
Well, I think my parents were very supportive, because they would be only concerned with my happiness. And even though they knew I was in a good, secure job at the time, and I had my own house, had a mortgage on my house, I had my own car, I had my girlfriend, everything was going like normal for me. But when this comes into your head, you know, I had to share it with them eventually. And they were very supportive, and they said, look, whatever you want to do, if it's going to make you happy, you know. And I think my brother and sisters were a bit taken back, all right, because they weren't expecting it to happen, you know. But again, they were supportive to the degree that, look, at whatever you want to do with your life, you get on with it and do it, you know. As regards my working colleagues, yeah, I think they were a bit surprised as well. But, you know, it's strange, I've always kept in touch with them, and I still am indeed in touch with them. And I was back doing some of their weddings then after that. And, you know, it was great fun. I baptized some of their children, and we've always kept in touch over the years as well, you know. So it's been a great experience, you know.
Very lovely. And then the other thing I found interesting is, as you discerned the priesthood, that you decided to, well, connect with the St. Patrick's Society for the Foreign Missions. Was being a diocesan priest or a Franciscan or a Benedictine, what was it that drew you to the St. Patrick's Society for the Foreign Missions rather than some other order or the diocesan priesthood?
Yeah, well, I always felt that I felt that I would like to sort of get away from Ireland. I had this thing about traveling as well. I like to travel. Now, I hadn't done a lot of traveling, but I just felt that maybe that would be part of it. And I decided to about missionary order mainly because, and secondly was the order where I joined, they weren't in Dublin. There was another missionary order in Dublin. And I felt that I had to, since I'd lived in Dublin for 10 or 11 years and had a lot of friends there, I felt that I really needed to get away from that. So I joined the missionary order, and as well as the missionary order that I joined, my mum's first cousin was a priest in that order as well. And it was him, when he was home on holidays, suggested, why don't you go down to Kilteagan and have a chat with them down there at St. Patrick's and see what you like. And it was strange, like, it's right in the heart of the country, surrounded by mountains, no shops, no pubs, no nothing to distract you. So I felt, you know, yeah, I think this is what I need, you know. After been living in Dublin and living a fast pace of life for so many years.
Sure. And so now you're pastor of St. Bridget's and St. Mary's Parish at Oldcastle, County Meath, right?
That's right.
And
that's so, right. I've been here now for 16 years, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, 16 years. So that was an assignment under the diocese then or through your St. Patrick's Society?
The bishop at the time then, when I decided to stay working in Ireland, the bishop that ordained me was the bishop of this diocese. He's now retired, Bishop Michael Smith. And I asked him then, would it be possible for him to give me an appointment long-term, not still undecided whether I would stay or not, but more long-term, because when I had come home originally, I was only getting short-term appointments for 2 months here or 3 months there, and that's very disrupting in itself. You can't really settle or commit yourself to anything like when you're doing that. So I wanted something more long-term, and he eventually did that for me. I was assigned to a town called Navan, which is not about a half hour from where I am now in driving, and I loved it there as well. I was part of a team of five priests, and we worked, you know, together very, very well. It was a great experience there, you know.
Excellent. So, listeners, if you're just tuning in, welcome. If you've been with us since the program started, again, you know, this program is called Faith in Action, and I'm your host, Joanne Fox. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and then replays Saturday at 7 p.m. And, of course, you can listen to the podcast on SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com. Also, we have the podcast on Spotify and about a dozen other audio platforms, which we are very pleased because we have a great sponsor for my program, and that is Mary's Choice, a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, Iowa. They help so many men and women with perhaps an unexpected pregnancy, and I get a shout out to them because they are the best, and I'm so grateful for their support. So again, listeners, I want to remind you that on the phone with me, all the way from Ireland, is Father Ray Kelly, and he's going to make a stop here in Sioux City at St. Michael's Church, and that is going to be Friday, September 23. It's a 7 p.m. performance, and the event is free and open to the public. But of course, as with many events in our churches, a free will donation is always accepted, whatever. I got a lot of trouble with my words today. So I want to ask Father Ray about, him becoming famous, or be it infamous, just in 2014. For some reason, the Holy Spirit moved him to sing Leonard Cohen's Alleluia while officiating at Chris and Leah O'Kane's wedding, and suddenly he is this YouTube sensation. Now, of course, if you've heard Leonard Cohen's Alleluia, you may think to yourself, well, I don't know if that is a place at a Catholic wedding, but the 10-year-old bridesmaid, Lucy Pitts O'Connor, modified the words, God bless the little child. And now in 2022, it's received more than 84 million hits. So, Father Ray, you have got to tell the listeners, what prompted this?
What prompted that? My goodness. Well, I suppose for many years, I've always been loved to sing. I had my voice trained, coaching, while I was working in Dublin as a civil servant, and indeed while I was studying for priesthood as well. So I did voice coaching and voice training. So I loved to sing. While I was in Navan, I mentioned to you about being in Navan for 9 years, I took part in many of the musical society shows there. Jesus Christ Superstar, Guys and Dolls, Fiddler on the Roof, did all those shows, which I loved to do. And then I was appointed here to Oldcastle back, as I said, 16 years ago. And I started singing it at Mass. I would download some backing tracks, and I would learn the songs and sing them, particularly hymns and maybe the Panis Angelicus or the Ave Maria or something like that. And people liked it, and then weddings had come up, and they asked me maybe would I sing a song at the wedding. So this particular wedding happened a few years, about 10 or 11 years ago. I was at a wedding in Enniskillen in Northern Ireland, and as you mentioned, this lovely little girl, Lucy Potts O'Connor, sung this song, Hallelujah, a personalized version of the song for the bride and groom. And at the end of it, I thought that was very clever, and I went over to Lucy and I said, can you give me a copy of the words? And she obliged. She gave me a copy of the words, and I brought them home, and I threw them into a drawer somewhere, forgot about them maybe for a year or two, and then I came across them again, and I said, gosh, I must try and see, can I get a backing track to this song, you know? And as it happened, I was able to download a backing track from a music group called JLS. They were on the X Factor in the UK, and I downloaded the track. It was the perfect key for me to sing it in. And I started singing that song then for brides and grooms in the church, and then the brides loved it, and the grooms loved it, and the people loved it as well. And so this particular wedding that came along then, and so like I had sung it a lot many times before actually this particular wedding in 2014, but this particular wedding, the groom was from Cookstown in Northern Ireland, County Tyrone, and the bride was from Dublin. And they chose my church because their hotel was quite near where they were having their reception afterwards. And I had a wedding rehearsal with them a day or so before the wedding. And we went through everything, the music and everything. And then, because they didn't ask me to sing, they didn't know I could sing. And I just said to them in passing, I might sing an old song for you myself, you know. And they looked at me as much as, what's wrong with him? Is he off his rocker or something like that, you know? But I thought the message had got through. So the day came, the wedding came, and when the wedding was over after Holy Communion, I get up to the altar and I press my backing track and start singing this personalized version of Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah. What I didn't realize is Leah was getting very emotional when I started singing it, because I named her and Chris, and there was little bits of tears coming in her eyes, and I said, gee, I can't make the bride cry here. So I started flashing my eyebrows at her and winking at her just to cheer her up a little bit. And she started smiling back at me then, you know. And I finished the song and thought no more about it. There was a few people standing ovation in the church. What I didn't realize was that there was two video cameras on me all the time. Now, I knew that they were videoing the wedding, but I didn't realize they were actually zooming in on everything I was doing, so... That was fine. Thought no more about it, Joanne. That was on a Saturday, the 5th of April, 2014. By Tuesday, I had an email from Chris and Leah. They were on their way to Mexico on their honeymoon. And they just sent me an email to thank me for the lovely wedding service and for the surprise they got with the song Hallelujah. And by the way, they said it's on YouTube. Now, Joanne, I had not a clue what YouTube even was.
I love it. Right.
I hadn't a clue, because it's not something I ever would have gone into to watch at all. And they sent me the link, and I hit it, and I watched it, and I watched it. And I said, my God, where did that come from, you know? And the next thing, the phone started ringing. Father Ray, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on YouTube. And it was going crazy and crazy like that all day. That was on a Tuesday. By Friday, I think it was 9 million hits or something like that. In the meantime, then, all the radio stations in Ireland and all over the world started contacting me. I started getting messages, emails, phone calls for wedding invitations in Japan, America, Italy, Spain, Germany, all over the world. People thought I had nothing else to do, only drop everything and fly out there and sing Hallelujah for their wedding, you know, which is amazing, you know.
Oh, that's great. Were you surprised at the reaction?
I was gobsmacked, absolutely, totally shocked, because I was not expecting it, you know. And then I was on a big television shows here in Ireland. I had to fly out to Germany as well for TV shows. And somebody told me then I was on the big screen on Times Square in New York that showed it as well. And then I was on Megyn Kelly on Fox News. The following week was Good Friday, I think, the following Friday week. So I was on Megyn Kelly. She showed the whole clip for the people on I have actually the clip on my iPad still, and she showed the whole thing as well for Good Friday for the people, and it just went crazy. Like, it was, as you said, it broke 86 million hits just last week as well, you know, so it's still climbing, you know.
It's truly astonishing. And, you know, I think as being a fan of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah myself, it's interesting how many artists have put their own spin on it. And I believe, someplace when I Googled it one day, there was, you could listen to like 20 different renditions of Hallelujah and see which one you really liked. What is it about the song that just seems to resonate with people?
Well, of course, the music is spectacular, you know. Now, as you said rightly, I would never sing, I never have sung the actual original words because it wouldn't be very suitable for me to sing. But for me personally, I suppose what drew people to it is that, first of all, a priest would get up and do this, you know, at a wedding. And secondly, then, you know, make it so personal, personalize it so much for a bride and groom, you know.
Sure.
And I've had two weddings last week. I did it again, and people just love it still. They love the song. They love to hear it. And I've two weddings this weekend coming as well, and I'll be doing it again. So it's just one of those things that seem to take off. I wasn't expecting it. I never asked for it, but that's what has happened. Like, it has changed my life completely, absolutely.
Well, I found interesting that, you know, after, you know, the big sensation of this video going all over YouTube, that this record company reaches out to you and they want you to do an album and right after that. And I just found that astonishing, too. That must have been a humbling moment.
That was amazing. Yeah, I was getting phone calls from Sony Music and from Universal Music International. They wanted to sign me up for record deals, and I just hadn't a clue about that stuff. I mean, I genuinely hadn't a clue. I didn't know where this was going to go. And luckily, I had a friend not that far from here who's a solicitor, and he knew another guy who's a barrister, and both of he would be used to dealing with recording contracts for artists, and we got to meet up together, and eventually. What happened then was I had to get an agent, somebody to work for me, because I just hadn't a clue how to deal with all of this. So I got an agent, a man called Gordon Charlton in the UK, and I went over to London and met him. And then we had an email from a man called Christian Seitz in Vienna, who saw this clip as well with his friend David, and they knew. The top man, similarly, in Universal Music, and were able to get a massive record deal for me. And they actually come over to Ireland for 6 weeks and built a recording studio in my house here to facilitate my work. And we recorded an album here at the house.
Oh, my goodness. What a ride. And then I had to chuckle a little bit because I did Google some information about you, but I had no idea that you were also a hoofer on the side, taking part in the Irish edition of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I did that. Before that, I actually did Britain's Got Talent as well with Simon Cowell. I don't know if you ever heard of that guy, but...
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
They actually invited me over because they saw that clip of Hallelujah as well, the wedding, and they invited me over to do Britain's Got Talent. And I sung a song which I've recorded on the album, called Everybody Hurts, and that's up on YouTube as well. I think it's around 18 million hits now or something like that, I'm not sure. But that they were blown away by that. I got standing ovations from 5,000 people in the London Palladium and from the four judges as well, you know. So it was amazing. So I was in the semi-final then, and I got to the semi-final of that competition, and so that was another experience. And then I was invited, as you said, to do the Irish version. It was originally devised in UK called Strictly Come Dancing, but any other country that has adopted it have to call it something else. So Ireland call it Dancing with the Stars. So I did that back in 2020, and I was just finished in the show when COVID struck, and after that then everything was stopped, you know.
Right.
Everything stopped after that. So I have done concerts in America before, before COVID and all of that, before the dancing, but I was not able to do it for the last few years because of the COVID then as well. So I'm so excited about going back. I've never been to Sioux City before, never been to the state of Iowa before either. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to that so much, so much.
Well, we are looking forward to having you here in the land of the Sioux as well. And still, I'm so impressed because, you know, a singer, a priest, a dancer, and now I understand you have a book that's out already or coming out, Hallelujah, Memoirs of a Singing Priest?
That's right, yeah. I launched that in 2019 as well. It's basically the story of my life from growing up as a child to going to school and what it was like, because as I said, my mother was a midwife and she used to deliver babies all over the country and in their homes. And my younger sister, actually, who has died since, she died of esophageal cancer 6 years ago, the youngest of us in the family. And she and I always used to, when my mum would come home from delivering a baby, we'd sit in the hall each side of her medical bag and we'd be listening to see was there a baby in it, because we couldn't figure out how she could bring babies to every other house and she wouldn't bring one to our house. And we just couldn't figure this out at all until eventually, of course, when we got a little bit older, we learned all right, you know.
So now that you've had a lot of these wonderful things happen to you, you don't necessarily at this point in your life have to go out and offer your talents so other people can hear you. Although I'm a big fan of nothing is better than a live performance. So what was the deal that you said to yourself, you know what, I think I will come to Sioux City, Iowa?
Well, you see, I've been to a few other cities already in concerts before COVID ever struck and before my dancing days and all that. So, we kind of, any friends that write to me on Facebook and say they want CDs or whatever, I do always try and reach out to them and say, look, I would love to go to your town or your city, if you're to your church maybe, and sing there. So it's kind of through all of that that these contacts are made. And then when I go there 1 year, then I'm usually invited back. Like this year I'll be in Toledo for my third or fourth time in St. Patrick's Church in the city of Toledo, Ohio. And I'm going back to Greeley, Nebraska as well for the Irish Festival there on the Saturday of the 17th of September, I think. And I've been to that twice or three times before as well. So it's lovely. Once I get known by people, I get invited back as well. So it's lovely, you know.
That is lovely. So what do you hope that listeners will take away from this presentation performance that you'll be doing here in Sioux City, Iowa?
Well, I always like to, you know, share my life with them and my story, like as I've said a lot of it to you now, Joanne. But I also like people to feel, you know, that we're all on this journey together, and we try to bring a little bit of happiness and peace and joy into people's lives. And I think that's what it, and I think I can do, I find that I'm doing that. People tell me I'm doing it anyway through my songs and my music, because they listen to it, they love the tone of my voice, they love the songs I sing and stuff. So if it brings a little bit of joy and happiness into people's lives, well, I feel I've done my job anyway, you know.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I have been in the journalism business for probably 50 years, give or take. I started when I was a child, like at 7, so that's why I'm able to continue to do this now. Joking, of course. Yeah. Listeners know I'm joking. But one of the things that I was privileged to do is interview singers every once in a while, and I'd always ask them to sing maybe 8 bars of something, and then we'd laugh, you know, because ha ha ha, it's just off the cuff, and it was always a good time. So since you can sing off the cuff, it appears, could you give the listeners 8 bars of something? Doesn't have to be the Hallelujah or the REM song or Danny Boy or whatever. Would you give us 8 bars of something?
Okay, let's see. How about Galway Bay?
Oh, my gosh. Do it.
Did you ever go across the sea to Ireland? And maybe at the closing of your day, you can sit and watch the moon rise over Clatheads, or watch the sun go down on Galway Bay. And if there's gonna be a life hereafter, and somehow I'm sure there's gonna be, will ask my God to let me make my heaven in my dear land across the Irish Sea. There you go.
That was absolutely wonderful. I loved it. And you know what? I got a joke, because the last time I had somebody do this, I interviewed Patti Page. And Patti Page had this kind of funny song, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? And so I asked her if she would sing it, because we were taping. We were doing a video in those days. And she goes, oh, Joanne. And I said, oh, please, just a little bit. And she said, okay. So she did. She said, how much is that doggy in the window? And then I replied, arf, arf, arf. And it brought, I mean, the videographer and the photographer and myself and Patti Page were laughing so hard. But you were much better than me and Patti Page doing that duet.
Thank you.
So, listeners, as you know, if you listen to this station and my show, we now take a short break to give a shout out to especially the sponsor of my show, Mary's Choice, a wonderful pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, Iowa. And I want to thank Father Ray Kelly for taking time out of his busy schedule to chat with me. I believe it's 8 hours difference, and we are taping this in the afternoon. So I think, what is it, about 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah, we're almost 9 p.m. here in Ireland. It's just about getting dark here now in Ireland. Yeah.
But again, so thank you very much, Father Ray Kelly, kind of a YouTube sensation, coming here to Sioux City. St. Michael's Church, Friday, September 23 for a 7 p.m. performance. God bless you, Father Ray Kelly, for your great ministry to all of us.
Thank you, Joanna. I'm so excited. Looking forward to meeting you and everybody over there in Sioux City. God bless everybody. Thank you.
God bless. Hey, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. I'm the host of this show, Joanne Fox. No, the show is not Joanne Fox. The show is Faith in Action. But this is why you listen, right? To see just how I can turn things around. If you have been listening from the top of the hour, hey, hasn't Father Ray Kelly just brought his game? What a delight he is. And again, if you are just tuning in now, this is what we're talking about. You know, this is a public affairs program, and where we bring you items of interest. So Father Ray Kelly is bringing his friendship tour here to Sioux City, Iowa, Friday, September 23. He is going to perform at 7 p.m. at Holy Cross Parish, St. Michael's Church here in Sioux City. There is a free will offering, which I'm sure you all will be more than happy to provide. And again, if you listen from the top of the hour, you got to hear him sing. So if you haven't listened from the top of the hour and you're just now tuning in, well, that's your loss, because he did sing. I told him 8 bars. He sang a little longer. That's okay. We love him. He can sing 16 bars. But he is the priest that, if you Google him on YouTube, performed Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah at a wedding, and it was shared on YouTube. And next thing you know, he has 86 million hits. So he is a gem. And again, bringing him here to Sioux City. Well, how is it that that happened? Well, in the studio with me is my longtime good buddy, Father David Heeman, who is pastor of Holy Cross Parish, which is St. Michael's Church and Blessed Sacrament Church. And I want to welcome Father David to the studio.
Well, thank you, Joanne. You're always so fun to talk with. You're so animated, and you've got such a beautiful heart for life and the Lord. And so this is a delight to be with you.
Well, thank you for all those compliments. And it only cost me a buck and a half to give him that. He said, yeah, I'll say all these good things about you, Joanne. So, Father David, why don't you share with the listeners a little bit about yourself and how it is that you're here in Sioux City, where you grew up and went to school and things like that.
Well, I've been a priest in the Diocese of Sioux City for just a little over 37 years now. I can't even believe that. It just goes so fast, and it's been such a delight to be here. I was born and raised in Fort Dodge, Iowa, August 16th, 1959, just turned 63. And then I went to Corpus Christi, grade school, and then St. Edmund High School, then Loras College, and I got sent 4 years over to Rome. and to study over there. And I came back, was ordained, and have just loved being a priest here. And in the midst of that, I've always had just a hunger and a love for music. I particularly like John Michael Talbot's music, and even in seminary, I was learning a lot of those songs and leading over in seminary, leading the liturgies that we had over there. I was in charge of a group, and we just had beautiful liturgies over there. And so I come with a heart of complete love for music, but not just music in and of itself, but music especially that touches the heart. Music has an ability to take theological concepts and bring it down into the heart and to embed it in your soul in a deep way. And so I just love music that brings you to repentance, music that brings you to praise God, music that brings you to sense the magnificence of our good and glorious God, songs that make you fall in love with God, songs that make you fall in love with this church as we all share. You know, isn't it so nice when we all sing together and we feel bonded together in music? You know, so music has so much power. And I've been really fortunate to be picked up by Heartbeat Records. Susan Stein is the CEO, the president of Heartbeat Records. I've been developed a good friendship with her. And she, you know, just we talk every once in a while. I just put out another, I don't want to be a shameless promotion, but I just put out a Come Holy Spirit CD, which is a compilation. They wanted to do a compilation of, like, I can't say I have the greatest hits because I'm not that good, but by my most requested, you know, these are songs that I do, and they are really most requested, and I sell most on, you know, CD Baby and iTunes and stuff. I took some of those big sellers and I kind of put them together. Anyway, to make a long story short, I'm really connected to her in that way. She says, "Have you ever heard of Father Ray Kelly? He's such a good priest." And, you know, and I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I just saw him on Britain's Got Talent. I don't even remember if it was on YouTube. It just popped up. And I watched this as he sang R.E.M.'s song, mm-hmm. Everybody Hurts.
Everybody Hurts.
Oh, I thought, what a sweet pastoral approach. And he was just so funny and so Irish and so wonderful. And I was just really moved when I saw this. And he has such a nice Irish tenor voice. But he also has such a soft voice, and he can bring it up to a nice, sharp, crisp voice. And I like his selections, you know. I kind of want to be surprised. I don't know what the song list is going to be coming up, but I'm thinking probably things like Danny Boy and I hope he does the one by R.E.M., Everybody Hurts.
I hope so, too.
You know, and various Irish songs.
Oh, if he doesn't do Leonard
Cohen's
Hallelujah. Yeah, Tears
in Heaven.
And Tears
Hallelujah.
In Heaven. Yeah, Tears,
you know,
in Heaven.
You know, and there's just, you know, I love a CD, and, you know, and I like his sense of humor, and I like his humility, and he's the real deal, and I've never met him. I've only, you know, we've kind of been going in between Susan Stein, the Heartbeat Records president, but I can't wait to meet him.
Well, how does one go about then securing him? Because he's busy, and he goes here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's one thing for Susan to say, "Gee, you know, Father Dave, I think he would be a good fit to bring here to Sioux City." And you go, "Yeah, that'd be a good idea." But then how does one take the next step then to ensure that?
Yeah. You know, when Susan first asked me, I kind of put her off because we had other people coming in and stuff. I said, "I'd like to do that." And, you know, and then she kind of came again another year, and I go, "Yeah, I think that we're supposed to do this." And it just seems to be the right time. So really, Susan Stein is the one who hooked me up. Okay. And then she put me in touch with Carol. I think her name is Carol. The people who are handling all the management dimensions of this. And I just talked with one of them today, and we kind of figured out everything, you know, when they're going to come and when we set up stuff and you know, what's the sound check. And we got that all figured out now.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And this is not something that you have never done before. Why don't you tell the listeners some of the other artists that you have brought in that I, of course, interviewed and promoted for you and went to their concerts and just blown away.
One of my favorites, Tony Melendez.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that the Pope kissed, Pope John Paul II kissed him when he was a young boy. He has no arms. He plays guitar with his feet. And he has his brother, Jose. And I mean, I love these guys. I'm over in Rome for World Youth Day and I run into them. I'm down at Christ Our Life. I run into them. Hey, come up and do a song with us, Father. You know, I mean, we just, there's a connection there. They came through Ida Grove just like that. They were just coming through and we filled the place and they did a great job. So, and he's come here a couple times. People just love him. And I've had John Michael Talbot here a few times. He's a real mentor of mine and I mean, really inspiration for me. And he came and just did a fabulous job, and he played some of his old songs that I've never heard him ever play live. That was so good, and
couldn't get him to play any Mason Prophet songs though. I kind of encouraged him, and he chuckled and shook his head, and then that's fine.
Yeah. He says, oh, I don't really like that stuff as much. He's kind of put that behind him. You know, although it was a very good for him. It was a good entry.
Mm-hmm. And then you brought in an Irish tenor that...
Mark Forrest.
There we go, Mark Forrest. Oh. Names leave me. Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to weep. I mean, it was so beautiful.
I think I like Irish.
I think you do, too.
Oh, my gosh. He's so good. He's a dear friend. We talk all the time.
And then that sweet young lady...
Tatiana.
Tatiana. Yeah. And I was absolutely blown away by her.
Oh, yeah. They call her Tai Chi.
Tai Chi,
over
right.
In Croatia. And she was as big as Madonna was in the United States at that time. I mean, there's a Tai Chi doll. She filled auditoriums, 80,000 people. I mean, she was the big thing in Europe, you know. And it was amazing. And then all that conflict happened over there. And she came over here and she just got, you know, really close to the Lord. I actually was going out to Orange County doing a retreat out there in L.A. And I met her there, and I thought, I'm sitting in the presence of a movie star here. I mean, I was kind of in awe. Well, we became really good friends,
and that's so cool.
Then had her come up here, and she sang a few songs, and just, you know. So what I do, what I'm saying, and what you're really saying, what we're saying, is that we bring people in who are inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring us beautiful music that will bring us conversion. We'll touch our hearts so we turn away from the emptiness of life and turn back to God and praise Him and worship Him and enter into love with Him and with one another, the community that surrounds us. You know, it's at these concerts, you know, you sit there and you just feel, can you feel the love tonight? You know, you can feel that love, you know, among the parishioners. It's a great unifying factor.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And I think that these people are faith-filled, kind of enhances our experience with them. Mm-hmm. A little different than listening to the choir sing. I mean, these are gifted individuals, truly gifted. Mm-hmm. In fact, to the point where, you know, it's almost jaw-dropping how talented they are.
Yeah.
And to sit there and listen to them live.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it because it impacts us. There's that incredible synergy between the listener and the performer.
Right.
There's nothing like it.
Right.
And it does elevate you.
And how nice it is, you know, because we have plenty of talented people in our choir too. How nice it is that, you know, I mean, there's a couple times when Grace Nelson sang. I got to tell you, my heart just melted. You know, I mean, we have some real good singers. And isn't that nice? And we've been having some funerals, really touching funerals lately, and there's been some music. Some of our singers have stepped up to the plate and just blown me away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's so beautiful. You don't necessarily have to sell a million albums to sing a song and touch somebody's heart.
That's
the
truth.
Yeah.
So if a listener is listening and thinking to themselves, well, gee, this sounds kind of interesting, what would be that gentle shove or push, not shove, push you give to encourage them to experience our Father Ray Kelly?
Yeah. You know, we live in a very busy society. And have you ever had those moments where you're watching a movie and all of a sudden tears well up? It's a good cry.
Oh,
it's not a bad cry. It's just, it puts you in touch with your humanity and with the stuff that really matters, you know? And good musicians have an ability to do that. And so if you want to come, the Lord says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name. And so it's not just an entertainment night. It's also a night of gathering in the name of the Lord. And so I would really encourage people to come to this and gather in the name of Jesus and listen to these beautiful songs and let the Holy Spirit kind of heal you, give you tears of healing. I mean, if I don't cry at a concert, it's not a success. You know, it has to have, you know, right. And if I don't get a joy, and it's not all about emotions, but these emotions are driven by truths. You know, it's not mm-hmm. just sentimentality, cheap sentimentality. It's their emotions that draw themselves from the hope of the resurrection, that draw themselves by being filled with the love of God. So what push? It's more maybe an invite, a gentle invite to say, come and see, come and hear, come and share this experience together so that the Lord can touch your heart and the Lord can, you know, and people, I mean, I know that all of the, and even my own concerts, I have people say, you know, wow, you know, I was healed. You know, I came with so much anxiety and I left with so much peace and I was able to forgive someone that I was holding a grudge against. And, you know, these are moments of, they're not sacraments, but they're sacramental. They can be sacramental moments where if people open their heart to the grace that is there, they're going to be touched. I like De Caussade. He talks about the sacrament of the present moment. At every present moment is an outward sign given by God to give grace if we just open our hearts. And so the likelihood in a concert like this, though, of being touched by grace, you know, singing Cohen's Hallelujah or whatever, the likelihood is much greater than just sitting watching MASH reruns.
Yeah, yeah, much greater.
You know.
So thoughts on people that will go to the concert, and as they walk out the door, what is it that you hope, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what is it that you hope that they take away into their then daily busy lives?
Right. I hope they take many good memories that they can return to and will calm them down and bring them into that sacred space again. And I mean, frankly, I mean, I'm not trying to be a salesman here, but I hope they buy us CDs.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I hope what they take with them is the CDs so that they can relive the experience over right. and over again. You know, just today, I was listening to a CD and I heard Everybody Hurts. I got to tell you, I started to get choked up because yeah. we've been having some hard times in our parish. We've lost a few young people on ATVs. This is still hurting us. You know, we had two ATV accidents in children. You know, and when you hear Everybody Hurts, you think of their parents and you think of the family members. You know what? To mourn well is to live well. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's important that music puts you in touch. But let's not just say the morning, you know. It also makes you want to dance for joy mm-hmm. and sing hallelujah mm-hmm. because Jesus is risen. And, you know, it fills you with joy. And it also sets your mind on these truths. You know, that these are the things, you know. It's what we think, rational emotive therapy. You know, what we think affects our emotions. If I think a man with a knife is going to come around this door right now, I'm going to be fearful. If I think somebody's going to bring me a steak dinner, I'm going to be happy. You know, our emotions, what we expect, you know. And so when we hear these songs sung about God's love for us, about having faith in God, about the resurrection, about the hope we have in Christ, when we hear these songs and when we pray them, you know, St. Augustine says, whoever sings prays twice. And a lot of these ones, we're actually praying these songs. What happens? We have the renewal of our mind that reaches down into our emotions and brings us healing, inner healing. And when we're inner healed, we're more apt to be loving to other people instead of snapping their heads off.
Yeah, I do think that's the commonality we have when we hear music yeah. is that's that unifier that yes. we appreciate music that uplifts our mind, our hearts, and our souls. Yeah.
So I hope they leave with healed hearts and more faith-filled hearts, and I hope the community leaves more bonded to one another.
Oh, that would be the best.
That's just when everybody has their arms around another and are swaying, you know, that's mm-hmm. good stuff.
That is great stuff. Plus the opportunity to see people that we enjoy yeah. and to
and no
experience
masks.
This. No masks. That's the best. Finally,
oh, thank God for that.
Yes. Happy faces, smiling faces, mm-hmm. or even like you said, tears,
yeah.
you know, who hasn't
yeah.
gone to a concert and seen somebody so emotionally moved, and pretty soon you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So listeners, as you know, that kind of brings to a close another edition of Faith in Action. I want to thank my two guests, Father Ray Kelly, all the way from Ireland, and Father Dave Heeman, who is sitting right across the table from me. Thank you so much, Father Dave, for coming in and sharing and witnessing to this great event you are hosting at your church.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Hey, show up. We'll see you there.
That's right. So again, listeners, we've been talking about the Friendship Tour of Father Ray Kelly. He is best known for singing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah at a wedding that now has turned into 86 million hits. He will be here in Sioux City Friday, September 23, 7 p.m. at Holy Cross Parish, St. Michael's Church here in Sioux City. And we are tickled that he is choosing Sioux City to share his talents. And so, again, that kind of, oh, Father, he's waving at me. One more thing.
I just want to say this, too. Okay. I didn't want to interrupt you what you're saying, but I want to say, go to Holy Cross SC, like as in Sioux City, holycrosssc.org. Go to our website. Go to events. And you can see, I think the Britain's Got Talent. You can see various things on our website so you can get a good feel. If you go to Britain's Got Talent and see him and that, you'll come.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yeah. If you're curious, that's a good place to go.
That is an excellent
HolyCrossSC.org.
HolyCrossSC.org. So, again, that kind of wraps everything up here. I want to give a shout out to Mary's Choice, a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, who is the sponsor of this show. And on behalf of my executive producer, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that, sure, a faithful reaction is good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.